Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the psychological components, psychological contributions to this whole...
You call them contributions.
Yeah.
Manipulations.
It's... Well, I think that they're the psychological theories, psychological constructs that are being used to contribute to the connection, that persuasion stuff we were talking about yesterday. That's what I mean by contributions.
We established yesterday, in as gentle a way as possible, to say that digital media, video games, cell phones, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, I think you put them all together, right?
Right.
Digital media.
Yeah.
The digital media are specifically designed to be as compelling as possible, to keep you on screen as long as possible.
Right.
For adults who aren't familiar with this, think of TV, because you were manipulated by advertisers in the days of TV. The idea was to keep you looking at the screen.
Right.
And so it is with this technology. So the concepts are no different.
Right.
It's just a little more compelling today because the design... and the way these technologies work is it's easier to embed all these prints, all these psychological constructs into it. It's easier with these than it was with TV.
You know, the epitome of this, I think, is Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl, it lasts, you know, 32 hours or however long a football game lasts. But you still can't, you're not even allowed to get up during the commercial breaks because, you know, those are going to be the best commercials of the year.
Right.
That are going
certainly
to,
the most expensive.
Right. You know. And so, you know, so everybody wants to stay and watch the video, the commercials. And then you have, you know, when Disney is coming out with a new movie, whether it's a Marvel movie or animated movie or whatever, or a Star Wars movie. Disney, I think, owns everything now. On ABC, they will say, you know, hey, stay, you know, watch this show tonight for a, you know, a new preview of the this upcoming movie. And of course, they save that trailer, that commercial until the very last commercial break. But it keeps you, because it could be this one. It could be this one. So you have to stay there. And it is that... It's that intermittent reinforcement schedule, but it's the, you know, engaging you in a way that, it's just holding this, what you know you want, out there, just out of reach, so that you stay connected and engaged and plugged in.
Right. And it's for that reason that the image on the screen, even in TV, the image changes every several seconds.
Right.
Because we know that the way the brain works is that as soon as something new enters your visual field, you're going to look at it because it might be dangerous.
Right.
And that's why we do it biologically. TV production people know that if you change the image, because what happens is if you're just watching at somebody talking, if you're just watching a TV with somebody talking, you quickly lose interest.
Right.
Okay. So what TV does is it changes the screen. So it keeps you engaged.
Right.
Okay. That's with all these technologies, the goal is to keep you engaged.
Yeah.
Because if you're engaged, you're available for advertisers.
Right. I keep feeling like there's more and more examples. I was watching an episode of The Walking Dead last night. And, you know, there's a lot of drama in in that program.
Right.
But they have to break up the drama with like a zombie eating somebody, you know, because if they don't, if it's just drama, then they're going to lose a significant portion of the viewing audience
who wants to see
the zombies doing things.
Right.
So, well, not zombies, the walkers doing things. Right. And so it's a really interesting phenomenon. And there is a lot of, or there are a lot of psychological principles that are being applied to this model that they're creating.
That's right. And so we've established that digital media are specifically designed to keep you using and using and using. And the longer The longer you use, the more successful they feel that they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal.
Right.
To keep you engaged.
Yeah. Yesterday I mentioned that game, Fortnite.
Yes.
And, you know, and so we're recording two podcasts on the same day right now because we've had a lot of excitement in our lives.
Because we're running out of clean clothes.
We've had a lot of excitement over the last couple of days in our lives. And so we're trying to be a little bit more proactive.
Don't get me
distracted by that. Yeah. So in between recording this morning, I looked up Fortnite, and so it's Battle Royale. That's the free one. But you know, it gets you engaged, and so you download the mobile device or the mobile app, or you play it on your devices or consoles, and it's free for the Battle Royale. But if you want the next level up, you know, that one's $40, right. And the next level up, the deluxe, because you know you gotta have the deluxe, okay. Is $60. But even with the free mobile app. You know, there's in-app purchases of 10, 25, 40.
99.
Yeah.
Goes up to $99 for 1,000, whatever they are.
Yeah, whatever those bucks are.
Right.
Now, I will admit, I did download the game on my phone just to see, because I want to try it out, see what it's all about. But I won't do any of the microtransactions, I promise. I'll play it in between Pokemon Go.
Play the game during lunch when we're supposed to be interacting in the real world.
Well, maybe. But the idea is, again, you have these missions, these goals that you're trying to accomplish, and you know, you could, you know, if you practice and play, you can get the skills and the materials you need to get to a particular level or to achieve a particular achievement, or you can, you know, pay $10 and you can get these things that's going to make it easier for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just mentioned Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go was a great example of that because, again, another free app would not cost you a thing to play Pokemon Go. There's so much, but they're making hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars. The company is making that much money off this free game because of microtransactions, those little things. So it's keeping you engaged, and the psychological principles that they're using is, you know, to build motivation, to keep you active, to keep you engaged in the game, so much so that, you know, what you're thinking about is getting to that next level or getting to that next achievement.
And what you have to remember is that, as with television, products are not sold.
Right.
People are sold.
Right.
You are what's being sold. So that, you mentioned the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The reason those ads are so valuable is because of the number of people watching the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You charge for how many customers you have. So if I have 10 customers, an advertiser might give me $30.
Right.
If I have 10,000 customers, they'll give me $30,000. If I have 10 million customers, they'll give me $3 million. So the amount of money an advertiser gives me to advertise is based on the number of people, the number of customers I deliver. Mm-hmm. So if I have a video game that's enormously popular and being played for many, many hours, I can say to advertisers, I'm giving you this demographic for 10 hours, 24 hours a day, in different countries because kids are playing around the world.
Right.
That makes that game a very expensive place to run an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so keep in mind that regardless of the medium, whether it's TV or a video game or Snap, doesn't matter what it is, if I can deliver a large audience, I can charge a large amount of money to the advertisers.
Right.
Advertisers will pay because they're reaching a larger audience.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
So the more customers I have and the longer they're on. So the goal is keep as many people engaged as long as possible.
Right.
To do that, the game has to be interesting. It has to be compelling. Otherwise, I'm going to put it down and not play it.
Right.
And those games are going to die because they don't have advertisers.
Right.
Right.
Right. Now,
and where did all this come from?
In this article, they mention the FOG behavioral model.
It's a BF FOG or something. It's got some initials.
Oh, yeah. B.J. Fogg.
B.J. Fogg. Mm-hmm. B.J. Fogg.
A psychologist.
F-O-G-G. Mm-hmm. He's a psychologist, and he has a lab.
Stanford Persuasive Technology Lab.
Stanford University, one of our country's premier universities, mm-hmm. He built a laboratory there called the Stanford Persuasive Technology Lab. Mm-hmm. No apologies needed. Right?
I wonder what they study there. And so he built this model, this behavioral model, that has three components, three pieces to it that are used by, you know, in persuasive technology mm-hmm. to keep people engaged. And the first one is motivation.
Right.
You know, again, the idea is to get users, make them motivated to engage in whether it's the social media or the mm-hmm. video game or whatever the app is, but you want to get them engaged. Snapchat does this beautifully because what they will do is they have those, I don't know what they're called, the little things that you can do, and you can, you know, add dog ears or you can add those little things. Mm-hmm. And they change every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they keep, it's remarkable technology what they do.
Right.
I mean, it's really cool. The way that it recognizes your face and everything. But, you know, you go back and you look to see what it is and mm-hmm. what's available. You know, they have little things that with music and mm-hmm. it's fascinating.
Voice changes.
Yeah.
It's really.
But the motivation is, what are we doing to get you to come back, mm-hmm. to keep you on the app? But then, you know, when you wake up in the morning, to get you to open that app right away.
That's right. That's right. Go check.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what happened while you were asleep.
Right.
So you have to find out. It's so compelling. You need to know. And what we're doing with many of these apps, with some of these apps, is that it's about popularity.
Right.
And it's about reputation. And so you want to continue checking mm-hmm. to make sure of your status. How mm-hmm. many likes did I get? Has anything bad happened to me? Has somebody posted something about me that I might not like? And so because you're we know that humans are motivated to do that sort of thing.
Right.
He knew that. So he said, okay, let's build motivation. If you want to persuade somebody, let's build motivation.
Right.
Where's the motivation coming from?
Right. Now, the second component mm-hmm. is activity.
Right.
Again, keeping you active, keeping you involved in the app or the social media or whatever. So, you know, so you have motivation to go into it.
Right.
Now you have to be doing something in it. You know, passive apps, passive games are not very popular mm-hmm. because you're not doing anything. I mean, even if you take a game like a crossword puzzle, you know, you can get a crossword puzzle on your phone. Mm-hmm. Even those games have, you know, fireworks that go off, and they have different sounds that happen,
that's
and
true.
Different animations and everything, because it has to have some activity, something that you're engaged with.
All of these things remain active,
right?
To keep your brain going.
Okay? Right.
You don't want to do anything. You want to keep that brain. You want to keep it going. But the other thing about these all the activities, and I have to say, we watched a bit of Fortnite.
Oh yeah, we watched the little.
And it happens at a speed much beyond mm-hmm. anything that I would be interested in doing, okay? Number mm-hmm. one. They're very fast, okay?
Right.
But the other thing is this. One of the things that Fogg knew is that the ability level has to be easy enough to get you engaged,
mm-hmm.
but it has to increase incrementally as you get better.
Right.
So the games are designed to be very easy in the beginning, but that they get better as you get mm-hmm. better. They mm-hmm. they sort of learn how good you are.
Right.
And so if I were playing it, it would never get really, it would never get to the level of, say, your son
mm-hmm.
who plays games and he's better than you are
simply
because of reaction time and the effects of aging and all that. Not that you're old, well, you're older than he is, but he has, teenagers are better at this stuff than we are.
Sure.
I mean, you don't fly fighter jets when you're 60. Mm-hmm. You fly them when you're 22.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. And so the ability is easy at first, and it increases incrementally. The other thing about it is that It's easier than real life.
Right.
It's easier to master a video game because of the way it's built
right.
than it is to master an athletic competition.
Right. Okay?
It takes less time. It takes less effort. And in fact, some people say, well, it's just easy to master a video game. And,
right.
and in many ways, it is.
Right.
First of all, you have many hours of practice.
Yeah.
Okay. But all these games are easier to master than anything we do in real life.
Right.
Real life is hard.
Yeah.
Real life is working out in the gym. Real life is running, you know, 10 miles. Real life is real life is harder. And so these games give kids, especially kids, the illusion that they're becoming competent at something.
Right.
And I would say, when my son was playing, he's a little bit older now, but when he was playing video games, I said, "Sweet, you're not getting better at anything. You're not faster, you're not stronger, you're not smarter, you're not learning another language, you're not increasing your ability in any way. You're becoming better at a game. That's not going to buy you very much." Okay? Whereas if you go out in real life and you practice a sport or you practice a musical instrument or dance or some skill, and you become better. Real life makes you better. These video games and social media don't make you better at anything. They give the illusion of being better, but you're not.
Yeah,
and Fogg knew that. So Fogg had, first of all, ability level. Second was motivation, and third,
triggers.
Good old triggers.
Yeah,
not the horse.
No. What are you thinking about the horse?
Well, different worldview.
Yes, but yes, triggers. You know, the something that you know triggers a reaction. Anything that sparks a new behavior or a change in behavior.
Right.
That's what they're looking for there.
That's right. In the condition called obsessive compulsive disorder, we have people who are always checking lights and checking this and checking that. And in this world of digital media, you're always checking to see what else is going on. What are other people doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so just you have the phone beside you and it dings. Try not to look at it when your phone gives you a message. That's the trigger.
Right.
Okay, you're constantly being triggered to use this stuff. Fogg knew that as well.
Yeah.
So they build these little triggers into
little notifications.
You know, your screen lights up. It's like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
Or it dings, or it buzzes, or it vibrates, or it does something. And try not to look at it.
Right.
It's compelling.
Right.
Addicting. We'll talk about addiction another time, but it certainly is compelling.
It is, and it's, you know, it's the, and I think I'm glad that you said it that way, because I think that we're talking about it in sort of a negative light, or sort of we think about it in a negative way.
What?
That it's made this way to
hook you
and to
keep,
do that. But there are times that there's nothing inherently wrong with any of this, as long as we, the consumers, are aware of what's happening and we can make decisions about what we're doing and you know, we understand that we're being manipulated that way.
That's really a good point. It's not in and of it. I don't like what Fogg did. I think he was immoral because he purposely they're purposely designing these things this way. Okay, so I'm not sure that I would do that. But he has, and he's created, he's called the millionaire maker, the billionaire maker or something, because his students have gone on to become, I think one of them developed Instagram, you know. So so he's trained a cadre of developers to use these psychological principles. But you're right. You can't really do anything about that.
Right.
And these are psychological principles that have been used for long before B.J. Fogg built his laboratory.
And we use it in everything.
That's right. We try to use it in education.
Right.
We try to use the same exact principles in education. We're not very good at it, but they're the same principles we try to use in education and in child rearing. But you're right. As long as you know, I think our obligation as users, as consumers, is that we have to know and live our lives with that knowledge. Okay? Teenagers are a little, it may be a little bit different with teenagers, you know, that you don't want to take, and they are taking advantage of teenagers.
Sure.
But still, it becomes our parental obligation to educate our children and to monitor what they're doing.
Right. Because
good point.
I think that this happens with everything. Any product that you're going to buy, whether it's a game, social media, a hamburger, whatever you're buying, mm-hmm. they're using this type of technology.
That's right. We talked about cigarettes, you know.
Right, adding a little bit more nicotine to it.
Food, you add flavor enhancers.
Right.
And try to make food like they make in a restaurant. You can't do it because you don't have 50-gallon drums of MSG.
Right. A physician's office, mm-hmm. you know, what do we offer that nobody else offers? You know, let me get you in here. You know, clickbait. That's what clickbait's all about, right? You know.
Go ahead. You what know, is clickbait?
Clickbait is that.
Sounds like something for
are those
fishing.
Ads, those little things. Good God. there's a little things on there that say.
I'm going to change this and put some clickbait on here. Because this crankbait ain't working. I need some clickbait.
I don't even know what to say about that.
But sounds like
clickbait is like it will say, you know, he went into the store and bought these new shoes. You won't believe what happened next. So you want to click on it and see what happens next.
Oh, so what happens next?
Right, and so you click on it to see what happens next.
Gotcha.
But you know, but that's what you know. You can see that in advertising. Like I said, even for physicians or for different stores or. All of that is persuasive technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all of it is come here, get connected here, you know, buy this, buy that, because that's what's going to get you whatever it is that we're mm-hmm. saying it's going to get you. So right. it's used everywhere. It's not unique to video games. It's masterfully done
right.
in video games, because with the technology, they are, you know, we'll talk later about the algorithms and things mm-hmm. like that are used, because that's impressive stuff,
right.
amazing stuff.
Right.
But yes, they're using those algorithms to manipulate and to persuade. But in many ways, it's not any different than, you know, adding some flavor enhancers to your hamburger meat so that you really get more people to come, or right. adding more sugar to your you know, your right. soda so that people want to buy more of your sodas.
Flavor enhancers, you know, let's add a flavor enhancer mm-hmm. to make people
right.
use it more. Coca-Cola has come out with these tall, skinny cans of mm-hmm. diet colas right. with flavorings in them.
Yeah.
So they're adding something to keep you mm-hmm. keep you coming back. You
yeah.
know, it's different than everything else they've done.
And then they'll have the special edition cans that have, you know, NASCAR numbers on it, or
yeah.
that has, you know, Marvel mm-hmm. characters on it, or whatever. Again, it's just
Wheaties
to get you.
Wheaties have the latest Olympic athlete on
right.
the front of their
box. They've
been
doing that for years.
Right.
Right. So
motivation.
So, yeah, it's all triggers. It's all motivation. It's all, you know, get you engaged.
And one of the interesting things is that some people have taken the American Psychological Association to task, mm-hmm. blaming them. And that's probably an unfair accusation
right.
because...
Blaming them for inactivity because they're not
right,
really
they're
saying
not
or doing
saying
much.
Or doing or any, mm-hmm. anything about it, but it really is it their responsibility to do it.
Right.
I mean, we feel that it's our responsibility because I think parents mm-hmm. parents need... I mean, every book you read, I have now a little collection of books about social media, mm-hmm. especially with children. And every one of them says the same thing. It's parental responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's driving or drinking or digital media,
mm-hmm.
it's parents have to understand this. They have to know about it.
Right.
And they have to raise their children accordingly.
Right.
So it's not the APA's fault.
Right. Remember a number of years ago, there was that huge issue with the alcoholic beverage Four Loko, right?
That's right.
It was it had more alcohol, had a higher alcohol content, but it
and
was made to taste
like an energy drink.
Yeah, and so it got people were drinking too much of them.
And wasn't there a energy thing in that? Wasn't
mm-hmm,
there something?
Yeah,
that, it was an
yeah.
energy drink with alcohol,
right.
essentially.
Right,
right.
So it's, you know, again, we do this. This is done everywhere.
And it's not APA's fault that Four Loko was created.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
that's
yeah.
an interesting point.
I think it's, and this, you know, tomorrow we're going to talk about the addiction concept related to all of this. And
right.
So that's going to be an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, it's clear. I mean, there's no doubt that they're using psychological principles for this, but they have they've been doing this for years.
When J.B. Watson left Johns Hopkins around in the before 1920, I think. So, because he wrote his books in 1912 and 1915, so I think he had been I think he had left Johns Hopkins when J.B. Watson was a very famous psychologist. When he left there, he went to New York and worked for J. Walter Thompson Advertising. And he brought these psychological principles to advertising. And one of the interesting contributions he made was the idea of the coffee break. That at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and he his client was Maxwell House. And so don't just drink coffee in the morning. We need you should drink it at mid-morning, you know, and in the afternoon. So the whole concept of a coffee break, which became institutionalized, was created by a psychologist who wanted to increase coffee consumption. So it's not new. It's just
it's being more masterfully used.
Because of the ability of the technology. You know, we now have a Facebook. The psychological principles are not different and not new. The technology is new and better.
All right, that's it for today.
Very interesting.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.